Please stand for the reading of God's word, and you'll find it in Psalm 30. Yeah. Those of you visiting with us this morning, we are about a third of the way through probably a three-month sermon series on tribulations, adversities, and I always ask at the start, or I did ask at the start, how many of us have ever gone through adversity? Everybody raised their hand, obviously. Many of you raised two hands. I think I raised two hands. It's a reality to being a Christian. It's a reality to being a human being. And because of sin, adversity affects us in a variety of ways. Sometimes it comes out of left field. Sometimes it's the result of stupid things we've done. And we all can probably say amen to that. So we want to look to answers that matter, answers that get us through the tough times and the trying times. And the Psalms, what David went through is remarkable. And his faith, I won't say never waned, it waned several times. But ultimately, he looked to God for every answer that mattered. And so he's our role model as we go through this sermon series. And I've tried to choose different psalms that would pick out the different experiences that he was going through that many of us still go through today. Or we went through yesterday, or we will go through tomorrow. Hear what David writes. A psalm for the dedication of the temple of David. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To you, Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Last week, a daily devotional from Michael Youssef, who is the pastor up in Atlanta that the Brindleys went to. And basically, I knew from a distance because I'd heard him occasionally on the radio, but I didn't have a real day-to-day relationship with Michael Youssef that I do have now because of the Brindleys. I get his devotions every day. I can't tell you how many of them I've downloaded and just put into different files that I want to use on certain occasions. I shared from him last Sunday, and I'm going to do it again this Sunday. He has a unique ability to proclaim the Word of God crystal clear, so there's no doubt of what God expects from his congregation and from you and me as well this morning. He writes this: at some point in most Christian lives, we are tempted to believe that the Holy Spirit in us will protect us from all unpleasantness, temptation, and struggles in life. This is not the case. The power of the Holy Spirit enables us to withstand evil and temptation and to persevere in times of persecution or hardship. But the power of the Holy Spirit is never a vaccination against difficulty. Translation, it happens to all of us. I don't care how spiritual you are or how spiritual you think you are. I don't care how much of the Bible you can read backwards and forwards. It's going to happen to you. It's probably happened to you. It could be happening to you right now, and it'll happen to you again. That's the reality of our faith. He continues, I can assure you from my own walk with the Lord that life is a daily fight against the push and pull of the world. Life is a daily battle against temptation. It's a daily struggle against countless forces that seek to destroy our health, our finances, our emotional well-being, our families, our friendships, and the preaching of the gospel. God gives us His Holy Spirit to help us endure and overcome in difficult times. But His Spirit does not prevent difficulties from coming our way. That's the reality of God's Word. That's why the false premises that are being put forth, for example, throughout Latin America right now, and the young man that was up here visiting from Cali, Colombia not too long ago, that false prosperity theology that's rampant in most of the churches down there, and it's from the pit of hell, as Steve Brown would say, or it smells like smoke, it's not the truth. And yet you have young men that's going out of their way, burying their wallets because they make money preaching a false situation. And yet the truth is starting to prevail down there. He started the church. He's got five other churches started with two more in less than 4 years. Why? Because God will not be defeated. Amen. His Amen. Word will not be defeated. You look at some of the worst places in the world right now where Christians are being condemned and the churches are growing faster than they know what to do with. Why? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. If He's their answer, He's our answer as well. And so as we go through this series on trials and tribulations that all of us go through, the two things that I want you to remember, God alone provides the answers that matter. And those of us, listen, those of us in this church who have gone through our own trials and tribulations will come alongside you from personal experience and tell you what the God relationship in our lives meant to us when we were going through it, so that we can come alongside each of you at the same time. That's what Christian fellowship is all about. That's what the spirit of love that permeates this church is all about. May it always be such. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you and me in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, may your word sear our hearts this morning. May your word comfort our hearts this morning. May we be the comforting agent for each other. May you get the honor and the glory in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Verse 5 says these wonderful words of encouragement for all of us who are going through trying times, have gone through trying times, or who will go through trying times in the future. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Well, morning has arrived once again this morning, and we've come this morning to thank our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we've done that already in song. Hopefully we will now do it in word for who He is and what He's done. From the moment we rise up in the morning until the time we turn the lights out at night, we have no control over the changes that come our way. Fortunately, though, we can rest in a God who knows all about the changes we can't see coming, and He will safely get us through it. He doesn't say He's going to keep us from it. He will get us through it. Ever been caught off guard or blindsided by circumstances you never saw coming? I have. And it can totally destroy your peace of mind. It can also cause you sleepless nights unless you remember that God is never caught off guard. He knows everything that has happened, is happening, and what will happen in the future. More importantly, He alone has the answers to the circumstances that seek to destroy us. And He alone has the ability to help us rise above our circumstances. For this reason alone, we come this morning with thankful hearts for God, who allows us to live balanced lives in a very unbalanced world. David has been living a roller coaster life with its constant ups and downs and in and out. Back and forth, we see David each week. Psalm 30 is a reflection of that journey. But we see David maturing in his faith, and we see him trusting more fully in God. Psalm 30 demonstrates the ebb and flow of our emotions when we get blindsided by new, unexpected experiences. The title of the psalm can be found at the very beginning of the psalm. It says, a song for the dedication of the temple. Scholars believe that this psalm was written by David about the time the Ark of the Covenant was being moved back to Jerusalem, where it would ultimately be put in a temple built by David's son, Solomon. 2 Samuel 6, verses 9 to 11. We'll talk about that. 2 Samuel 6, 9 to 11. Talks about this journey. Psalm 30 was probably written to be sung as the ark was being moved according to instructions given way back a long time earlier by Moses. You'll find that in 1 Chronicles 13:3. During this journey, we will see David riding the emotional rollercoaster ride of emotion. And what I like most about this, he's just like you and me. That makes him a good role model to follow. Sometimes we can't make sense, ladies and gentlemen, out of life. Sometimes things happen we don't plan on, and we respond in ways we wish we hadn't. Sometimes we appear to revert back to our childish ways when we were younger and lacked emotional security. What David is showing us this morning is just what you and I need to see. How he regains his emotional security because of his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And in this case, it was in God. David shows us how to make sense out of life's ups and downs. So fasten your seatbelts. Let's go for a ride. Number one, I think we see this morning the transition from hurting to healing. Irma Bombeck, who was one of my favorites for many, many years, had a great sense of humor. And it certainly came in handy when all kinds of troubles around us befall us. She wrote a book entitled, If Life is a Bowl of Cherries, Why Am I in the Pits? Love that. One of her special quotes from that book was, I've always worried a lot. And quite frankly, I'm very good at it. I suspect most of us this morning could claim that we have a PhD in worrying, if not certainly a master's degree. That usually happens when things happen, usually bad, that we don't see coming, and almost always are out of our control. This is certainly what is happening to David in our psalm, and by now he's already received his PhD in worrying by all the things that have already happened to him. However, after years of experiencing God's presence in his life, he no longer allows the PhD to rule his life. Verses 8 and 10 tell us how David is now dealing with those out-of-nowhere moments in our lives. To you, Lord, he says, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. And hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. What we see here is David working on achieving his PhD in faith and trust. We've already seen David's faith in action in the very first verse, which said, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. After a month now of studying David through our trip in the Psalms, David has had more than his fair share of enemies. Tragically, many of them came from his own family. May I suggest to you this morning that enemies come in many different forms. Enemies for our purposes may be unexpected illnesses such as cancer, premature death due to illness or accident, loss of a job, loss of a friend, cheating spouse, financial woes. I could go on and on. Enemies come in a myriad of forms, but the answer to all of them is the same: God and His Word. As we study David's journey through life, we certainly see him moving from hurting to healing. And this process involves the physical as well as the spiritual. One of the most intriguing words I found in this psalm was the word lifted. Because I believe it's a powerful and vivid reminder of how God works in our lives when all hell is going on around us. Lifting. God does, though. When we don't know what tomorrow will bring or how we're going to deal when it arrives, God does. He reaches down from his home in heaven and lifts us out of despair. And that's why I love the song. I almost called you this week, Michael, and said, throw in love lifted me. Because that's exactly what God does. His unbelievable love for you and me, no matter what we're going through, he lifts us up. True story, there's a wonderful old monastery in the southern part of Portugal. And the only way you get there is to get into a basket with a rope and pulley, and you pull yourself up. When the priest at the top was asked one day, or the monk was asked, well, do you do this 7 days a week? And he said, sure, unless the rope breaks. I don't think I want to be in that basket when the rope breaks. However, many times in life, that's exactly how you and I live. Exactly. We push and shove our way through each day, worrying when the rope of life will break. Fear, doubt, and worry can paralyze us. We are wrong to think that only Christians think that way. Many, many Christians do as well. But I've got some good news for you this morning, my folks, my friends. God holds the rope of your life and mine. And He alone has the ability to lower at the right time and lift us up out of our trials and our tribulations. Jesus reminds us that not even one sparrow falls to the ground apart from God's knowledge and will. That's in Matthew 10, 30 to 31. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many, many sparrows. The next time anxiety or fear strikes, stop and remember that God is totally aware of your circumstance, and His rope never wears out. It is His rope that allows us to move from hurting to healing. We also see in Psalm 30, David moving from weeping to joy. Verse 5 says, for His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night. Rejoicing comes in the morning. Sadness is an everyday truth in our lives, and one has to deal with that. But just as the day can bring sadness with it, it's also true that the day of sadness ultimately passes. How many times have we all heard the expression, hang in there, it'll get better? Well, it usually does over time. But may I suggest to you this morning that it absolutely not only will, but it won't last as long if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. As many of you know, I recently did 3 funerals in 1 week. And I experienced all the emotions that went with each one. What got me through all of them was the ability to bring truth and comfort to the families involved. And it was simply God's promises to never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what the circumstances. To always have a firm grasp of the rope that guides and protects us. To always have that grasp in our minds and in our hearts. At every Christian funeral I've ever had the honor of doing, I've always said these words: in our humanity, we weep. In our Christianity, we rejoice. What gets you through a Christian funeral is the fact that the deceased, if it's the truth, is already in a much better place. Do our human tears call us to weep? You bet they do. But our love for Jesus Christ and our belief in His promises and the assurity, not the hope, the assurity we have of where we're going, allows us to rejoice that our departed is in a far better set of circumstances than we could ever imagine. And pray that we all one day will experience the same thing. Jesus is the difference maker. God gives us the grace to move from one phase to the other. I thought it quite interesting that David used the word night first and then morning second. Usually in our modern day culture, day usually precedes night. However, if you look at Genesis 1:5, you see these words. God called the light day, and darkness He called night. David Jeremiah writes this: I think there are wonderful truths embedded in God's perspective on life. If you will look at your day as the evening and the morning instead of your morning and evening, in other words, put evening first, you will begin to start each day the previous evening by meditating on what you need to do the next day and then asking God's blessings on what will take place. Many of us go to bed at night and we say our prayers, but we usually thank God for what's already taken place. Wouldn't it be nice if we started to thank Him not only for that, but God, You know what tomorrow holds. Be a part of my life tomorrow as well. He continues, then He is free to work in your heart and mind as you sleep to prepare you for accomplishing those things. Also, we are living life at present in the darkness, in the shadows of life due to sin. A bright getting up morning is coming that will follow the weeping we have endured for the night in which the world now exists. When Christ returns, everything will be the morning of joy. There will be no more weeping. Weeping is ours during the night, he finishes, but our eternal joy is coming in the morning of Christ's return. And I wrote down here the other day, I would only add to that, come Lord Jesus, come and come now. Do I wish he had come yesterday? Truthfully, I do. Because those of us that love Jesus Christ would already be in a better place. But how foolhardy were so many people to have given up thousands and thousands of dollars. Debbie, I couldn't download it yesterday, but Debbie told me that Michael Youssef wrote an email yesterday to the world simply saying to...
Actually, to the gentleman that said it was the
20th. He wrote to Mr. Camping, his name? Yeah. This man has a multi-million dollar ministry. Multi-million dollar ministry that has grown enormously in the last year because of all this false stuff. So Michael simply said that, you know, if you're right, then it won't matter. But if you're wrong, we can take your money and use it for proper things.
Yeah.
Did I quote it basically right? Millions and millions of dollars wasted on a false prophet. That's why it is so important in this church that we faithfully preach the Word of God. That's why in this church we have elders who faithfully know the Word of God and will keep the pastor accountable if he strays. I have a choir director that knows the Bible better than I do, and he certainly is going to keep me in line. Why? For my benefit and yours as well. We're here to love Jesus Christ. We're here to live a life that honors God and Jesus Christ. And we can only do that if we're honest about who and what we are. We're filthy sinners saved by God's grace. And in doing that, then how do we live a life that honors Him? By following His commandments, by following His words. So it's critical that we always look to God and Him only for all the answers that matter. Whether we're on that mountaintop experience laughing our heads off or weeping down in the valley, He's with every one of us when those experiences happen. And He will get us from the valley back to the mountaintop. And eternity is going to be on a mountaintop. That's what we're all hoping for. Do I wish He came yesterday? Yeah, I do. But He didn't. And you know why He doesn't tell us when He's coming? Seriously. So we don't know. We need to be prepared. Do you know how many people probably were doing every good deed they could think of in the last 2 weeks? Do you know how many people in the last 24 hours were probably saying hello to everybody? You know, calling up, apologizing? Didn't happen though, did it? I'll bet they're not doing that same thing today. But we should be. Every day we should be trusting in God. Every day. Because He just may come tomorrow. I said may. Don't quote me on that. Or you quote me on the may part. Okay, so third thing we see David doing in Psalm 30. He moves from wailing to dancing. Verse 11 says, "You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy." This verse... it's one of the reasons that many Bible scholars believe that the psalm is about bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. This would be one of the reasons why David's mourning is being turned into dancing. If you read 2 Samuel, you see that David danced before the Lord with all his might. And I can intrigue you by telling you this, he danced in a loincloth, if that intrigues you to go back to 2 Samuel. Those people, those of you that may have a problem this morning with Christians dancing, don't like this idea, but may I tell you that David wasn't dancing for entertainment value. He was dancing to honor and praise God and thank Him for what He had done in his life. There's something quite beautiful today in many, many churches that have a form of worshipful dance that is wonderful to see and appreciate. In our psalm, David is visually showing God his appreciation for having the ark returned to where it belonged. By the grace of God, David has moved from one extreme to the other, because he chose to trust in God and be reminded who really is in charge. It's that same grace that allows you and me to move from fear to praise when trials come our way. The final verse in Psalm 30, 12 says this, "That my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever." The last transformation that David goes through is from silence to singing. He no longer asks God how long, as we saw back in Psalm 13. You see, David now realizes that whether in good times or bad, God is there, whether we're riding high on the mountaintop or whether we're down in the valley. He's always there. Whether in the ups and downs, God is with us in every circumstance. What I want all of us to remember this morning is simply this. Whether you're going through weeping or joy, give thanks to God. Whether you are in an up time or a down time, give thanks to God. If you're experiencing prosperity or poverty, give thanks to God. If you're in